Good morning. Trust, trouble, temptation. The Israelites remembered and trusted in God's constant guiding presence and gave back to God the first fruits of the land. The psalmist trusted God would be present in times of trouble. Jesus survived temptation in the desert only by trusting in God. In whom or in what do we place our trust when we are troubled and tempted? As we begin today's celebration, please stand and welcome your neighbor. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and shall set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders. And bringing us into this country, he gave us this land, flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have now brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil, which you, O Lord, have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." The word of the Lord.
Come near your tent, for to his angels he has given a command about you, that they guard you in all your ways. Be with me, Lord, for I am in trouble. Upon their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the asp and the viper. You shall trample down the lion and the dragon. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Because he clings to me, I will deliver him. Set him on high because he acknowledges my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and glorify him.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. For the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt in the Exodus, he showed by his power and his mercy who he was. When the Israelites responded by whining and disobedience, they showed who they were. Almost immediately, they began to worship the golden calf. And then when things became difficult, they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. They were tempted in the desert, and they failed. This reading is placed at the beginning of Lent so that we remember that Jesus was also tempted, but did not fail, and what this means for us. This is clearly a restaging. It is in the desert, and 40 days reminds us of the 40 years the Israelites wandered before they reached the promised land. The temptations themselves reenact the challenges the Israelites faced. Most clearly, of course, the devil's offer to trade earthly power for worship. Again, the incident with the golden calf. This passage rewards repeated reading, especially with a Bible with footnotes. If you do this, look at all the Jesus' responses today, and today's first reading as well. It's from the book of Deuteronomy, a book which relates the time in the wilderness. Now, there are several things, however, that we should examine. First, these temptations are not for individuals as much as for the community, the people. There is great value for looking at individual temptations and asking if we have fallen into them, but this is not the emphasis of the story. The people sinned. This is especially important for us to realize as Catholic Christians in Lent. Lent is the time that people are prepared to be initiated into the church. As Catholics, we believe that in baptism, we become part of the people of God. We join the family. Our relationship with Jesus is like our relationship with our parents and siblings. We know them as individuals, of course, and we have an individual relationship with them, but as always as a member of the family, and a family to which we owe loyalty and allegiance. Second, do not disparage the Israelites. We are not superior to them. Luke is telling us this story because he doesn't think we would do much better. We can be tempted as a community as well as individuals. We are the body of Christ. We are called to be the presence of God in the world. If St. Charles Borromeo disappeared tomorrow, who would know? I hope we in this church today would, and that we would find our connection with Jesus and each other seriously diminished. But who else? Is there a ripple effect from here on Sunday, throughout the week, through our lives, and in our world? Third, take the church seriously. The devil does. The devil fails with Jesus, but he does not give up. Notice how this passage ends today. When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. That is not a particularly accurate translation. More accurate would be, he departed from him to a better time, a more opportune time. The devil is mentioned several times in the body of the gospel, but he returns at the end to tempt Judas and Peter. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. We read a little further in Luke. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen the brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. You will deny that you know me. Both fail, as the Israelites fail. But and as we will see, Judas cut his connection with Jesus and died an ignominious death, while Peter acknowledged his sinfulness and live the life of an apostle. The devil attacked two of the apostles, the leaders of the church, in order to weaken it. His targets were clearly discerned. There was a strategy. The attacks may have been on individuals, but the ultimate target was the community, the church itself. What does the victory of Jesus over temptation and the devil mean? First of all, that he is more powerful than the devil and the world. Therefore, if we are connected to him, part of his body, the church, we, like Peter, will overcome them as well, not by our own skills or power, but by Jesus's. The second effect is the mercy of God. He has experienced temptation. He knows what it is like. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read, "For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help." Jesus understands our weaknesses. He knows that we have and we will sin. He has come to us not in spite of this, but because of it. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We were not born righteous, but through the power of God, we can become so. Lent is a time for reflection and fasting, for us both as individuals and as a community. This is never pleasant. As has been well said, only love and truth truly hurt. In Lent, but there is always the good news, always the gospel. In Lent, that good news is good indeed. Jesus knows us from the inside out and loves us all the more because of it.
For the Church Universal, for Pope Francis's health and intentions, for healing of all divisions within and between Christians, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a spirit of cooperation between nations, safety for those fleeing oppression and danger, and for policies and borders that welcome the stranger, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are incarcerated, for those imprisoned by addictions to drugs, alcohol, gambling, technology, or pornography, for adequate funding in the treatment processes, and for healing for all victims, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For us as we begin this Lenten journey, for strength to overcome temptations that hurt our relationship with God, others, and creation, for reconciliation of all broken relationships, and for a greater awareness of Jesus' presence in our lives, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For respect for human life from birth to death, with concern for justice in between, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For first responders who assist us in times of trouble, for all who are sick in mind, body, and spirit, for all who have died and will die alone today, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Mary E. Kagan, remembered by Francis R. Duffy, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those petitions hidden in our hearts, we pray.
Lord, hear our
prayer. God, we call out to you. You hear our cry and see our affliction, our toil and our oppression. Let us journey this night seeing you as you see and trusting in you your help, that we can right our relationships and our world, and we ask this to Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please note that there are two collections today.
Thank you.
Give us the right dispositions, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings for them. We celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
We invite you to us our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord, by abstaining 40 long days of earthly food, we consecrated through these fasts the pattern of our Lenten observance, and by overturning all snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at least to the eternal Paschal feast. And so, with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. By his head and will to reconcile.
through Christ,